All right, so today we have a special treat. Paul is speaking. So Paul has been away in Brazil for 5 months. And while he was there, you know, before he was there, he's always had this genuine fire for evangelism, teaching people about Jesus. But something I think increased while you were gone. Yep, eyebrows went up, so I'll take that as a yeah. And then, you know, Paul actually emailed or talked to me. We were talking over Messenger, and he said, you know, I want a week. I feel like I have something urgent that needs to be shared. And he's like, and don't make it Memorial Day because nobody comes on Memorial Day. So I said, yes, sir. So we, so that's how you know it's urgent and critical. So Father, we just invite you to come and speak through Paul. I ask that we hear your heart, Jesus. Lord, we don't want to just hear information and we don't want a sales pitch. We want to hear your heart. And I believe Paul has that today. And so, God, we open up our ears and we say, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to say and however you want to adjust our life and our actions, God, stir that fire, we pray, God. Let us have a burning desire to offer the world what we have taken full advantage of, Father. We love you and we want to share that. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I am on. Okay. Bom dia, família. Paz do Senhor. So, you have just heard pretty much the extent of my extended words in Portuguese.
Obrigado.
I know food. I know street names. That's it. Still working on it. Thank you. Thank you that I have an opportunity to share. But first, let me take a moment to pray. So Lord, this morning is given unto you that the words that come from your servant are your words, that they have been tempered to years of walking through you, and that your heart and your desires will come through in this time sharing with my brothers and sisters. Guide the words, cover them, Lord, and touch each heart here that they may know what you have for them. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. So in looking around the room, other than Ron, I have been here the longest. Ron and Kathy were here when the operation started in the living room. So I've been here 23 years, by the grace of God and through many adventures. But it was a long time coming. So just a little bit of background. So I was brought up in a religious school. I won't go into details. And I knew the Lord, I knew the name, I knew the Lord here. For years, it had gotten into the heart. But yeah, as you go through life, I could see that there was something planted there. And in fact, it started to come out after I got married. And I can still remember we were at Michigan State. I was going to school. My son was 3. And you just had this need to say, we need to be in church. We need to raise our children in a church setting. So it was that thing that was, you know, you couldn't pinpoint when you were young, but it said, I need to be there. So we did that, but that was kind of a semblance. It was being there and knowing the Lord, but not quite down into the heart the way it should be. So life moves along, and we're now in Milwaukee, and in mid-70s, it was the Jesus Rally, and we're at a Jesus Rally in Milwaukee in 74. And how many of you know the name Corrie Ten Boom? She's speaking. Now, for those that you may not know, Corrie Ten Boom is the one that went through the concentration camps. And the one story that always remains with me that she shared was, she was speaking at a conference, and one of the guards from the concentration camp came up in front of her and ask for her forgiveness. Now, her parents had been killed, her sister had been killed. And now she has to face a man who was responsible for that. And she said, I hesitated, it was difficult. So her message was so powerful, and I sat there, unmoved. I look at it now, going, what was wrong? Where's my heart? But that story retained, so it continues to work on you. So life continues, and actually, this year is 40 years that I came to the Lord. 40 years. Last year, I turned 80. And I'm all of a sudden thinking, is there a Moses thing going on here? I'm not claiming anything. No leadership, no, but, you know, 40 years ago saved, 40, I'll leave it at that. But, so, as we went through life, my dear departed wife, she was an evangelist at heart. And she could go in to a store. In fact, she would take friends and say, come on, we're going to go around and introduce ourselves and talk about Jesus. And occasionally I would be with her and she'd want to engage me. Stop. It's not me. It's not my character. You do your thing. I'll do my thing. You know, I'll serve. But part of that was learning as well. Because as she talked with people, she found out things that were needed. And she had an answer every time. She said, oh, Paul can do that. This is years. So we joke now with my dear wife, Cleo. I have been well trained in the service area. In the service area. So as we move along, and yesterday I was just reading, and sometimes you get these unusual parts of Scripture that begin to say, I'm speaking to you. And yesterday in 1 Samuel 15, and this is Samuel talking to Saul, said, even though you considered yourself of no importance, you are the leader. And then says, the Lord anointed you. You know what? I believe that there are times and places when the Lord is saying, I'm anointing you for this work, for this help, just to talk with this person, to listen to them. So it comes almost out of a context, and yet the Lord puts it in context that says, listen to what I have for you. So life continues on, and we're here, we're doing work, we're just feeling good about what's going on. And for the first time, my mid-60s, a little bit older, I felt the need to go to on a missions trip, first time. Now again, admission. I was considering a cruise with a bunch of gearheads going down to Panama. And I had asked some advice on, you know, where you should be on a cruise ship. They said, well, you definitely don't want to be in back toward the engine in that area. It's pretty lousy. And that's about all was available. So I went on the missions trip. Now, I have to admit, I felt drawn to go there, but half of me is travel. Here's my bag, I'm ready to go. I enjoyed travel. So here we go to Guatemala. First year's quite an education. Second year is even more. Third year, we're sitting at the end of it. And now, for those of you who've never been there, Guatemala is, once you get out of the city, which is quite interesting as well, but you're driving on roads and the So you're here and the road's down here, and you're looking down on the edge going, please stay inside the edge of that road because otherwise we're going down a couple thousand feet. So we're at the end of it, and we're just talking and sharing about what was going on and what the Lord had in mind. Now mind you, I'm about 67 at this point. I have never been involved with Vacation Bible School here, never. And I said to, it was a doctor who was leading this, so he'd go out on medical helps and teaching every night, just a wonderful man in his family. I said, Dr. Otto, what do you think about a Vacation Bible School here next year? Fantastic idea. I'm going, wait a minute, who said that? Who brought up Vacation Bible School? So we come back here and say, okay, we want to organize, we're going to go and do Vacation Bible School in Guatemala. Who would like to go? So I had about 8 or 9 or 10 people initially. Oh yeah, this is good, let's go. Second or third meeting, I'm down to 4 people. We're getting closer. There's 2 of us. Some of you know Kim Lord. So Kim initially wasn't able to make it, and all of a sudden she got medical clearance, so now she can go. So it's Kim Lord and myself. Okay, Lord, how are we going to do this? Now, Kim is a very organized person, is saying, all right, how many villages are we going to? Kim, I don't know. How many days are we going to be each village? I don't know. Paul, how many children are we going to have? No lo sé. I don't know. I have no idea. Finally, the good doctor sends some information in Spanish. Now, I know even less Spanish than I know Portuguese at this time. The only thing I can read says 1,000 niños. And I'm going, oh God, oh no, Lord, this is not funny. You know, no. It can't be 1,000. There's no way. So we get there, Kim and I. Now, the doctor had 4 children, so they were all with us. And just in the small ways in the Lord works, I had gone to Morningstar. Somebody said, you should have some CD music to take. So I walk in, I said, do you have Spanish CDs? Yes, we do. Can you help me? No, I can't. Oh, this is fun. So I go, okay, Lord, here we go. Let me get this one, and I'll get this one. One of them turned out to be something that the doctor's son used for children's church anyway. So it worked out. Thank you, Lord. So now we get to the we go to the store because we have no supplies. You can't take paper and other things. So we get into the store like a Walmart. And we say, okay, Kim, what do we need for this arrangement? Paul, you now ask me after all this time what I need? Well, yes. Kim, what do we need? Let's just pick it. Let's go. Those basic things, paper, pencils, and balloons and other things. So the first village is, I don't know, a couple hundred more. But one of the things to watch is Kim has red hair, very, very nice auburn hair. The girls would go crazy over, they would sit behind her and just feel her hair, just because it was so different, because it's all black hair there. So we go through, we had 4 days out. It wasn't 1,000, it was probably about 600. At the end of 4 days, we were exhausted, but it was so good because these children had a time hearing about the Lord and just spending pretty much the whole day with us. And there was just one point where you see what the impact is of a human touch. We're making, I don't remember what they were, little finger puppets or something. So there's this little girl, 3-year-old or so, and they come out and they've got their Sunday best dress. So I'm making this for her and she's standing next to me and she just takes her little hand and rubs it down my cheek. You melt. What do you want? Tell me what you want, because I will give you anything at this point. So it just the human touch that begins to get into your life to say, this is what's important. Children, families, people, just getting out and touching. So I need to move along. So this morning, it's toward the end, missions, but it's really about our commission, about what the Lord's calling us to do, what we are called to do in our community, within our family, and then how do we complete our commission? What are we called to do? And by the way, I have to admit to you, and these are the warts. I look at it now and say, why does it take so long? Read the word. I see what's going on. And yet, I can't move myself to this next point of saying, yes, I need to follow what you're calling me to do. Because how many of you have been in the point that says, I just call, I put it on your heart, go pray for that person. And I'm dumbstruck going, I don't know the person. This is a circumstance I'm not comfortable with. And the answer is, so what? It's not your comfort I'm looking for. It's that person's. So eventually, you get to the point that says, okay, I'll do that. But it's going to lead to the next thing and say, well, then I have to do that. So the mind and the comfort says, do I want to go that far? Do I want to take that next step? Over time, you take that next step. So what are the changes? What are the things that began to affect me that might be of some value? So one, very simple, reading the Word of God. There is so much good advice in there. You look at Proverbs, and it says regularly, seek wisdom, seek answers. In my life, I've said, I want to do this. I want to go there. I want to get this accomplished. And I've done that. And one of the reasons we're back in New Hampshire is because I said, I am going to live in the warm country. Some way, I'm going to get down there. I'm going to live in the country, in the warm country. Because, Lord, you built me to warm weather specification, and you have me living in the cold country for all of my life. I'm getting out of here. Well, for the first time in my life, down in Tampa, I got fired. Which was, okay, Lord, you got my attention. This is why 40 years ago I was saved. So we came back up here. And now it's just the relationship and the understanding and just spending time with people that make a difference in your life, getting the influences that can change how we deal with people. So through all of that, I began to say, who am I? Who am I in the Lord? Are there names or labels? And a dear friend now, a pastor and a friend, was explaining that shortly after he became a Christian, he met this, it was actually an Amish gentleman, he said. And the man asked him, are you a believer or are you a disciple? Think about that for a minute. Is there a gap? Is there a chasm between being a believer? I believe in this. I believe in the Word. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. But I'm willing to live the life that's called for. So I'm going to touch on a few other. What are the labels? What's the name that the Lord has assigned to you in a instance, in a time, on what he is looking for us to do? So I wanted to just give a couple quick definitions. So Ethan, if you would put up one of the slides says that, there we go, missions and evangelism. So in missions, it's a task regarded as a very important duty, a place where the work of missionaries is carried out on a calling, a vocation, or missionary work. That is rather strict, and I'm going to begin breaking it down a little bit. And the other is an evangelist or evangelism, someone who talks about something with great enthusiasm, especially a revivalist. Typical qualities of evangelists: kind, encouraging, forgiving, honest, puts others first, prays for their enemies, deals fairly in all things, compassionate, unconditional love for others, and love for God. And I look at that and go, sorry, Lord, not me. I don't qualify. I miss in so many of those on occasions. And yet, you know, we've talked, he said, how many lies have you believed? It's from the pit of hell. If he, the Lord God, is calling us to do this, then he is changing us to be able to make us capable of doing that. And though we may say, but I failed here, I failed there, he forgives us, that we can come back and say, yes, I will do that. So I want to expand the definition that says it is so much more and expands to other areas in our life. Even in the smallest things, it makes a difference. So two things on definitions. One, my recommendation is do not allow the world's definitions to define who we are in the Lord. Look to the Word, and it will provide the definition that we need to live life in today's world. So you talk about, okay, let's go to the next two scriptures. One more down. There you go. So let's talk about evangelization for a minute. As I said, I had never considered myself to be one. I am comfortable with doing things, with help, providing helps, etc. And yet there's a commission. The very word says in Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded to you. That obey can be a very difficult word for any of us. Or go into all the world and preach the gospel all creation. It's a command. If you want to look further, there's probably another 30 or 30 plus commands that say go and preach. But Lord, it's hard. I'm not comfortable in talking with people. I'm not comfortable in going out into the streets. I'm not comfortable with this. And he finally go, stop already. You do that with your children, and what do you tell them? Cut it out already. Just get it over with, get it done. So now as an adult, you're going, okay, all right. I need to give these things up because it's not my comfort. It's how I touch other people. So often, I don't know if you've seen this, but you hear something that it really, at that point in time, it touches you to say, I need to remember this. This is important. So last week, do I have the a new wine up there, Evan? I don't think so. But last week, there you go. Last week you sang, make me new wine. And these words just touch me at the very depth of my being. Make me a vessel, make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing. I came with nothing. You provided a family. You provided a work. You provided housing. You provided. so Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Because I have what I need in you. And you have been making that change. You have been making those adjustments. You've done that teaching and that learning with people to say, you have what I need to be able to serve. So for those of you that were singing that last week, that was the right time, and the message got through. So talking a little bit about who's an evangelist, I gave you the description, and I have to say I'm going to debunk that. Not that it's wrong, but it's too limiting. So I ask you, how about that dear grandmother that cuddles that child, that grandchild, sings to them, reads the gospel, reads the words, and just loves on them and talks about the Lord? Is she an evangelist? Or perhaps someone sitting right next to you here, that someone has a need and they're there to help them out. No questions asked. What do you need? I'll help. Are they an evangelist? And especially the difficult times that we've gone through with COVID, especially where, and it's, I know it has touched so many of us, for you ladies who are nurses, you have people in the hospitals dying and they can't have relatives near them. Who was the one ministering to them? Those nurses. I thank God for them. So what I want to make sure that we begin to understand is, it isn't the people who go out in the field and spend a year or two or three. Yes, praise God, thank you for them. But it's these individual acts and people that are saying, I will make a difference. I will take of my time, I will take of my resources to be able to touch another person's life. That's also an evangelist. So I'm going to put the challenge out to you. Daryl does it. I can do it, right? That consider what you're being called to do. When you feel uncomfortable, stop and ask the Lord, and he'll give you comfort. And I have an advantage, one advantage over the majority of you. I'm old. I'm older than anyone in this room. So when you reach a certain age, you can say things and more likely get away with it, because they say, that foolish old man, you know, what does he know anyway? So, you know, it is harder here. I will tell you, I've gone out on the street in Nashua a couple times, and I have a business head. I've been in business for 30 plus years. So when the first time we went out, we saw one person at the end of the day, and in my head's going, we are here for an hour. It's cold outside. I'm walking around. I'm seeing no one. Why am I here? What difference does that make? So it sets a tone. But now, and I'll touch a little bit more on this, when we went to Brazil, it's warm. And you know what? We did not have to go someplace else to be able to minister, because the people that needed ministry came into our neighborhood. I'll give you a couple examples of how the Lord was working. But first, how over time I've had to be changed and molded and modified, dragging my heels. And so one of the other missions trips was to Philippines. Once you start this, I want to warn you a little bit, it's addictive. Going on missions trips and just seeing how you can make a difference begins to affect, I need to be out there again. In fact, I'm going to share one that I hadn't mentioned. On about the f- fourth Guatemala trip. At the end, I had the feeling of, my gosh, we're a group of people. They have to take a week off. They have to drive us all over. They've got to make arrangements. They've got to do all of these preparations so that we can go out to the village and be able to support them. And the doctor's son says, no, you don't understand. You come here from your country to support us. We don't get anyone from our country coming to support us. You've come to support. You've prayed for us. So even in our very presence, that was encouraging them. And in my own thoughts, I never would have considered that. It's a pretty basic thought that says, you're going to take your time to come. I want to keep doing this because it says it is important. So please, when there's an opportunity for a missions trip, would you consider? And I may have something for you on that as well. Oh, so in Philippines, we were supposed to do some training. And there were two of us to do teaching, and they said, discipleship or evangelization? I said, I'll do discipleship. I don't remember exactly what happened. I ended up doing evangelization. How do you do? This is not fair, Lord. You did not prepare me for this. This is just patently unfair. You got to change this. No. However, in the research and in the reading, one of the things I read was, perhaps the reason me is having a hard time on this is because you have something in your heart that needs to be changed. You need to reflect what is holding you back, because I've made this opportunity for you. Excuse one second. How do you do this, Daryl? So I'm going to try to get this in a reasonable time, but please understand, this has been a 40-year journey, so I'll try to keep it under 4 hours. And if I did that, I would be in big, big trouble. So having said that, again, I'm going to ask you the questions. Has the Lord called you to reach out, to share the word, to pray for someone that you didn't know? Was it difficult? Did you say no? I did. So sometimes the aspect of fear, or just not feeling equipped, or I'm busy. And for me, the busy part was such an easy escape. Yeah, I got this appointment. It's Sunday and we have something else to do. So I would ask you, take it to the Lord. What's he calling you to do? I'm not saying, okay, give up your whole life and sell everything you have and go off into the missions field. No, reaching one person at a time may be all he's asking us to do. And that person would reach another person. And that person would reach another person. And that person would reach another person. How has this body grown over the past several years? Through individual touches, because it is in relationships. We build relationships by meeting and talking with people. And the more time you spend, the more important that relationship is. And perhaps that becomes the opportunity to share the Lord. Not with turn to burn. I remember I remember a young pastor that came to the Lord when in his teens, and he was saying, yeah, I went to this camp and I came back and I said to my parents, you better turn or you're going to burn. They were not quite on board. So there's no teens here, but I would just caution that the words turn or burn are not a very effective lesson at this point in time. You may not get any responses. But we ought not to be turning away if people are saying no. In fact, I do recall last year, the year before, and a small side story. So I remarried after 10 years of being a widow. And I was not expecting it. Quite frankly, I was enjoying being a bachelor. I traveled. I didn't have to explain if I was coming home late. I made my own decisions without any discussion. Everything was just so hunky-dory. So in 2014, and I actually, one other part. So I retired when I was 67. And the following year, in 2008, a gentleman I work with had said, I need help, get in here, in his language. So I'm now 68, and I said, okay, I'll come in. I'll work 3 days a week, Tuesday through Thursday. Pretty nice gig. And it worked until things got busier, and then it expanded a bit. I had a part-time job for 8 years. I retired at 76, by the grace of God. But along that line, there was a side adventure. Because I did it as a business, I had a business banking account. And one day in about June 2014, I get this letter from Citizens Bank that says, you need to come in here and take care of this business matter or we're going to shut down your business account. I'm a 30-year customer. You're sending me a letter like that? I am not a happy person. Now, I wasn't going into the bank. It was right here on 101 in Amherst. So I go in holding my letter on a Saturday. I need to talk to someone. See this letter? I need to talk to someone. I'm not happy. But I'm going to be reasonable. So the bank manager says, oh, okay. Go sit in the office there and Cleo will come over and help you. Lord, how can you do that to me? I want to be upset. I want the person to know that this is not the kind of letter you send to a 30-year customer. Who do you think I am? Cleo comes in, sits down, goes through the details, said, well, here's what you need to do. I had neglected to do a state registration. Said, well, I'm going to Japan. I'll get to it when I get back. As kindly as she could, no. No, you don't understand. They will shut down your account, and it'll be about 30 days before you get your money back. So if you don't want to go through that, do this. So in the midst of the discussion, I said, I recognize an accent. Where are you from? I'm from Brazil. And I had known she was in Manchester. I thought, oh, wait a minute. My mind can't grasp, how does someone come from Brazil to Manchester, New Hampshire? It just incongruous. It doesn't make sense to me. And the answer was, only by the grace of God are we here. Now, I wasn't given to asking for dates with ladies that I really hadn't known for a while. And I said, well, can I take you out for coffee? We'll be married 7 years in August. So the Lord had a side thing for me to do. But there was another reason for it. Because we're going to Brazil. And this most recent trip was because we had a mission. And I started a little bit again. Lord, how am I going to minister out in the streets in Brazil? I don't speak the language. And because, Lord, I felt like saying, are you really asking that question? How am I going to do this? Do you not remember this lady who helped you out, who is now your wife for these years, speaks fluent Portuguese? So now he made it even easier, because when I see the person that says, this is the one I want you to talk to or pray with, my dear, please, would you come over here? Here's the questions. Would you please walk us through this so we can get there? So I now have the words, because the Lord has sent to help me. So here's the first one. We're out there. We got there end of November last year. And I'd said to the Lord, please make an arrangement that we can meet someone and be able to minister. Now, services there are on Sunday at 6 p.m. So you have the morning. So it seems the temperature was maybe 75-ish on a Sunday morning at about 9 o'clock. So let's go out for a walk. Oh, glorious with the sun shining. Let's go for a walk. So we go out, and we're about a block from our apartment, and this young man walks up to us. And he says, initially in Portuguese, I just felt led to come up and ask you for some advice. Then he found out I spoke English, so it transferred to English. So we prayed, and here's this young man out of the blue, who wasn't even from the city, saying, I came to you to ask for advice. Coincidence? So we had a chance to pray with him and to talk with him. So now we get into the other parts. So about a week later, I'm out walking on my own. Walking is wonderful. I love here. I love New Hampshire. It's spread out. It's not packed in. The city of my wife's birth is Belo Horizonte. It's a city of about 2.5 million people. There are people all over the place. There are cars all over the place. In many regards, it's a hassle, but you can walk in the whole area. There's restaurants, there's shops, and it's very safe. So I'm out walking, and I see this gentleman. Can you queue up that first one? Some of you may have seen this. So I see Carlos for the first time. As we talked, well, as I saw him, he really touched my heart. So the easy thing for an American is you drop a little money in. And I got about 20 steps past and said, no. Cleo was back in the apartment. So I called her and I said, my dear, we have work to do. Would you please come down here? So we started talking with him to get his life story. And even through all of this, and he did know the Lord, but at least we had a chance to talk with him. He had just a spirit to him, a joyful spirit. And I said, well, what do you need? He said, well, my wheelchair is broken down. And the battery shot. I said, okay, let us see what we can do. Cleo got his phone number. And we started looking to review. And I sent a note back here. I said, is there someone, would this body likely be able to reach out and help this gentleman to get a battery and to get his wheelchair fixed? I won't name any names, but you know who reached out. And it wasn't that much. We were able to get a battery for him. Okay, cue up the next one. So several weeks later, we are at a place called the Central Market. Now, we don't have anything exactly, well, Farmer's Market in Boston, kind of close. But this one is a marketplace, and I've enjoyed it from the first. Cleo provided a word that I said, that's exactly it, Mavuca. It is active. There are people all over the place. there's stalls for meat and fish and produce and house goods. I mean, there's probably 500 or 600 different little stalls in there, and outside it's busy. So we're there on a Saturday, and we see our Lee, okay, church that we're going to, and said, there are evangelists there. Would you come and join us to be able to minister to him? So on the following Saturday, we went out and were able to minister to him, which, as we did, I said, okay, Lord, this is going to be an opportunity. We have other people walking by. I can invite them in to minister with us or have an opportunity to share. As near as I could get is, Pazda Senor, please come in. They're walking on by. Saturday, it's busy. No one. No one is stopping. So I usually have Thursday morning prayer on Zoom with several individuals, and one of them is Randy Lubier, who's a pastor now in Boston. And he said, Paul, it's okay. They were walking through the Holy Spirit zone while you were doing this, so you never know who is going to be touched. Anyway, so with R.O. Lee, we talked to him. He said, yeah, kind of, sort of need a wheelchair. But we had no idea what he needed, again, with what he is physically. So we tried to find something, had some information, went back to him, excuse me. And he was just noncommittal. It just touched us. It said, maybe this is not the thing to do. So we talked to the pastor at Smyrna to get his advice. And he said, you do have to be cautious because you're not certain what that might turn into or where there may be funds moving in a way that you're not really expecting. So he was provided some clothes and some small funds. But then we went to the pastor and his wife and said, we've got these funds left over because we were able to buy the battery and we still had funds remaining. So as we were talking and praying, my heart was going toward children that we were seeing in Brazil. And as we found out from them, in many cases, parents are just barely making it, and they will send their children out selling candies or doing other things in the streets. They're not in school. In fact, you'll see them selling candy when the cars stop in traffic. And they're out trying, it's a riaya. So riaya is about 20 cents. And they're just trying to make ends meet. So he said, okay, is there something we can do to be able to have a scholarship to get one or two off the street for starters? Because if you can get them in school, there's an opportunity to change a life. Now, it isn't just providing funds. It's also someone within the church body to mentor them, to follow up, and to make sure. Because school is free, but they need uniforms, they need supplies, and they need food. And if the parents need them out in the street to earn money, they're not gonna be in school. They have no money for this. So we are just encouraged, just last week, or is it this week, my dear? This week, they identify the first boy. Could you put the pictures up?
Guardou pela minha mochila. Guardou pela minha mochila.
So he had.
Guardou pela minha mochila. Guardou pela minha mochila.
And the next one is his
pela minha mochila.
She noticed that he was really smelly. The shoes are too big, and they're all gone in the inside. So, okay, good enough. He is the beginning of having a scholarship to help keep him in school. And one girl, we've said as well, to be able to mentor them, keep them in school, that their life could be changed, that they could change someone else. So what I want you to know specifically is the funding that River provided is going to make, I believe, a change in this young boy's life. Because he is one of three boys. The mother left because of issues with the father. So they're living with the grandfather. Three boys and the father, we don't know his condition. So we'll be praying that they will be ministered to, not only in the physical needs, but also in the spiritual needs. So this is the kind of work that's going forth out of River. And I want to make one other point. Yes.
How much is needed per year?
We've estimated about $200 to $300.
Per year?
Yeah.
That's all?
Yes. Yes. It's...
We spend that much on Starbucks.
Amen. 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 But okay. So that's Brazil. That's Brazil. What about right here in our own backyards? Where are the ones that have a need? How do we identify them? So at least in one case, community, this is a plug. I'm on a bash plug. Community Connections is coming up once again. Last week in June through the first week in August. Wednesdays, each Wednesday. And we have food, we have some games, but it's an opportunity to just meet and get to know people. Establish relationships, finding out where they are and whether we can be a part of their life in a positive fashion. So please consider that, but we're called to service. I believe, for me, I'm now called to service. Who I was before, I pray to God, I am no longer. That says, yes, when you call, when you put someone there, I will answer. Yes, ma'am.
Did you tell about Miguel's story? That when that bag that
wasn't there, how did the Monica
approach them? Remember?
When we asked Smyrna to find a family where they can get a scholarship, they were just searching, and then they found Miguel, because Monica said she noticed that not only his shoes were so smelly because it was big and was have no insole and he had no socks. And she asked about the family. The boys are 5, 6, and 8. And then she asked, do you have food at home? And then he went on through the basics. And she asked, what would you make you happy? Why you bring your school books in a bag? So I don't have a backpack. I would like to have one. So she talked to the supervisor. He got a backpack, and then she comes back and keeps on searching, and then she said, what would you make you even happier? Oh, if my brother could get a backpack also, because he does not have one. So she was able to provide for socks for him and the brothers, and also to make sure. So then she sent me a message if that was okay to be this the family and say, absolutely. We see the need since they are being raised by the grandfather.
Thank you.
So here's what I want to leave you with. The Lord has blessed us. We've gone through difficult times. You've gone through difficult times. We've struggled. You see everything going on in this country. I believe through prayer, through coming together, we can make a difference. because we can show love. Because this is all based on love. Are we prepared to say that I'm willing to give my time as you direct, Lord? Are we prepared to go up and talk with that person that we know in the depth of our heart he has a need? Or are we going to go, oh, boy, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to reach out. I don't know what to say. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to do this. I don't want. But are we called? I think the word says very clearly, we're called. So may life for each one of us move more rapidly toward listening, toward obeying, and toward being willing to say, I will go outside of myself. I will step out of my comfort zone because I'm being directed by the Lord. When you see that circumstance that says, I really know, I can see this person needs a hand, and not just money. They need to hear someone say, you're worthwhile. You're important. Can we do it with an addict? Can we do it with one that's recovering? ARC New Hampshire, right here in Milford, is reaching out and doing that. We're trying to support them in some regards. CAST, which is part of the Boys and Girls Club, is trying to teach children how to be resilient that have gone through traumatic experiences as young children, to help them understand how to deal with those circumstances. Gate City Recovery out in New Ipswich is working with recovery. We just had a mental health training on the 23rd of April, standing of. So what's your place? What's the Lord calling you to do? I would pray that for all of us, we just begin to do that self-inspection. Where am I coming up short? What are the changes in my life that I really should be making? And for those times when the courage is not quite there, going to prayer immediately saying, Lord, help me out now. Give me the words. I hope this has been worthwhile. I'll close in prayer. But I want to share again the words. Would you put up the wine? So we want to be whatever you want me to be. Pray that we all take that to heart. Fill this vessel, this imperfect vessel, that has, for me, has done things that I had to go to the Lord. How could I possibly stoop that low? How could I disappoint friends, family? How could I not answer the call when it was needed? I want to be ready. Do you want to be ready? So Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you have such great patience. Thank you that you called us while we were sinners. You died for us. You have made a difference in our life, Lord. Whatever we have, we can see your hands upon us. We can see that you have good in store for us. We can see that you want a life for us that's lived raising your glory, lifting you up, that we can make a difference here. Because, Lord, we are praying for a revival in this area. We're praying for the evangelists that just come forth, the ones that can touch people's lives, that can open up the opportunities. We're praying that disciples will come forth to be able to minister to these people, to make a change, because what's going on in this country right now, it's so much hatred, so much anger, and it's not you. So fill our hearts with your love day by day, that we can pour it out in others. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for blessing us, for watching over us. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.